This is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, Kennedy says, just treat me like an African-American, and a Latino charter school in Los Angeles says it teaches cultural pride, but opponents label it separatist. Joining us today to discuss these topics and more, E.R. Shipp, professor of journalism at Hofstra University School of Communications. She joins us via phone from New York. Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. He joins us from our bureau in the Big Apple. And Glenn Lowry, professor of the social sciences and professor of economics at Brown University, joins us from member station WRNI in Providence, Rhode Island. We should note that we have an abbreviated roundtable today, as we will salute the great life and great talent of Billy Preston in just a few moments. So let us get right to the issues. Let's start with the Duke lacrosse team. President Richard Broadhead announced this week that he will reinstate next year Duke University's troubled men's lacrosse team. They will resume play next season. There are a lot of people, and he has suggested that this is a risk in and of itself, E.R. Shipp. There are a lot of people who are suggesting that this was too early, that we should let, in fact, the continued investigation, the alleged rape against a young black student from North Carolina Central, should play itself out before you reinstate this team. Do you agree?
Hold on. I am a rape survivor myself, so I understand all the complications of those issues, but why punish the whole program by saying you can't have the team play until whenever? I think what is being done is thoughtful enough to be useful to the rest of us, to be something that we can see as, okay, they're working it out. The thing that I'm concerned about is that they have decided that there will be a new code of ethics for the lacrosse team. My question is this code of ethics applicable to every athletic team? Because this is not just a lacrosse team thing. It's not just a white boy on lacrosse team thing. It's across the board, athletes kind of have this air of privilege. And I think that school, Duke, and other schools need to address that.
Well, Glenn Lowry, there are those who will suggest, had this been the Duke basketball team, we would not have seen the cancellation of the remainder of the season. And we should also note that there are others who are clamoring for the heads of the Duke men's lacrosse team by virtue not only of this incident, but that about a third of the team had faced charges prior to the rape allegations, which included underage alcohol possession, having open containers of alcohol, loud noise, public urination. But one could say that is typical, quite frankly, on
but
many college campuses. No, it should not be, but it is typical on many college campuses, Glenn.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that we don't know what happened in the case. Now, the case has become emblematic. It's become this big thing. You turn on cable news and everyone's speculating about who's innocent and who's guilty. I think that's interesting in and of itself. It's clear that these young men have a lot of sympathy in many quarters of the country, irrespective of whether or not they did what they might have been accused to have done. And that's the thing that I think is interesting, because you ask, would the basketball team's season have been suspended? But what I want to ask is whether or not the same degree of sympathy and, oh, we can understand how things could happen and boys will be boys and there are circumstances and why should people be scarred for life, could that be extended to these hundreds of thousands of young black men who are in prisons and jails around the country, some of them who were caught up in circumstances? I'm not saying there's a perfect analogy. I'm just saying we're selective as a country in how we, you know, sympathize with people who get into tough circumstances.
Glenn, by saying there's no perfect analogy, you've actually thrown out hypocritical kind of way of seeing these situations. Okay,
well,
they may be black and they may have done something bad, but whatever. No. If they do something bad, they get punished.
No, I'm saying don't take away their right to vote forever. Felony disenfranchisement.
Well,
let me get into a little bit of humanity extended toward them in the same way we would to these. You just got through making a case. Why should a whole program be punished, et cetera, et cetera?
All right, Michael Myers.
It's a pretty.
Well, my problem with Glenn's dodge is that he's changing the subject. This is not the subject. Felony disenfranchisement, all that stuff, is not our subject this morning, today. The Duke community has a right to have standards. They ought to have a code of conduct that affects everybody. And there has to be specificity with that code of conduct. There ought to be due process involved with the code of conduct for everyone who's charged with an offense or with violation of Duke's community standards. And in this regard, I agree with ER. I do not believe and I don't like group blame unless there is group blame. It's a group activity that is involved in a rape or a group activity involved in a hazing. Okay, then you have the group involved and punished. But there are always a few knuckleheads, and there are rapists, and there
are people.
Well,
but we just said, Michael Myers, we don't know what went on, and while
there
have
right.
been three,
I'm not saying that there has been a rape. What I'm saying is that in any situation, and I'm just giving Duke, it could be Harvard, it could be
no,
Yale,
I understand, but I'm
Rutgers.
Saying the idea of letting the investigation play itself out, we don't know how many people were involved, even on the peripheral of the
no,
alleged.
No, the woman said three people were involved.
No, I understand. I'm talking about the actual rape. That is right. True, but there are circumstances that allow for these things to happen.
But the larger point...
Virtue and by extension implicate others. Go ahead.
But the larger point, the larger point is that
the new president had said that they're going to come up with this code of ethics, and he's now saying it's applying to the lacrosse team. My point is it should apply to everybody. It should have applied to everybody before.
And
all right, Michael Myers, real quick.
I agree with that. I think that there's going to be a code of conduct against underage drinking, against disorderly conduct, against harassment. It should apply to every member of the Duke University community, period.
And Michael,
let me just say this.
You
let me just
and I
say
know
this.
We're not underage.
It's a corrupt culture. A corrupt culture has been exposed up there. Now, whether or not it's going to be stigmatized and how it's going to be stigmatized is the issue. And all I was saying with my analogy is that as a society, we decide to exempt some bad actors from the full brunt of our stigmatization.
No, we don't.
The reinstatement of that lacrosse team, business as usual, let's go back to normal, everything's
nonsense.
Okay. You know.
All right, well, time will tell on that one. All right, let's move our attention to a problem that is occurring within the boundaries of Washington, D.C., and if you believe the congressman, this doesn't apply. If you don't, this does, and that would be a drinking problem for someone who is not underage or young, and this is Patrick Kennedy, who we know crashed his car just a few weeks ago. He is denying that he was drunk on that occasion or that he asked Capitol Police for preferential treatment. But here's what he said this week. This was in terms of him getting booked, mugshots, fingerprinted, etc. He said, quote, "It's what anyone else would have done to them if they were an African-American in Anacostia." And that is him suggesting that he got the same treatment, Anacostia being a part of Washington, D.C. Yeah. Lynn Lowry, here's the issue. There are those who will misread this. The congressman says, of course, this is not what he meant. The idea of, hey, just treat me like any of those black folk in Washington, D.C. that you might have pulled over. His suggestion is, just treat me like a regular citizen. Are we making too much of this?
No, well, I really think it's related to the previous discussion because, again, it's the symbolism in American society about what criminalization is, what jail is, what police do. I think a sympathetic reading of what he was saying was, just treat me like an ordinary person. But the fact that he used that particular metaphor is just a reflection of how deeply ingrained is this kind of racial aspect to punishment. And again, like I was trying to say before, I won't repeat myself, it does not play in the same way when it applies to white guys like Patrick Kennedy.
Well,
Patrick Kennedy
had
the advantage of being Kennedy, of course. Whether he asked for preferential treatment or whatever doesn't matter. He got it. But the thing is, this whole thing, the reason...
Well, he did not get it. He says he did not get it.
The way he said, I want to be treated like a black person, reminds me of when Vicente Fox said something similar. Was it about a year ago where he was saying something about, you know, Mexicans were coming here to take jobs that even black people wouldn't take? So people have some image in their head of what it is to be black in America. And it's a negative image. It's like we are the nothings of the world. We are the left-outs of the world. We are somehow the people with our hand-outs of the world. And that's not us. So I think we need to figure out a way to educate these people about who we are. We have been here longer than most people have been in this country. And we have so much diversity among ourselves that why would we have somebody treating us as a criminal element as their image of us?
Michael Myers, ER brings up an interesting point. That is not us, but that is the perception, albeit in many instances and corners, the silent perception of black Americans.
Look, Patrick, it sounds to me like he's talking out of his head. If he repeats such a request to be treated like a black person, I'd ask that he take a breathalyzer or some sort of drug test. But it's too late. He was born into wealth and privilege, including, white skin privilege.
And including not being able to speak
excuse
English.
Excuse me, it's my turn.
Okay, Michael, go ahead.
My point is that, I don't want to attribute bad motives to the guy. He's, in effect, under siege and under attack by saying that he's special, he's privileged, he's been accused of getting special privileges as a congressperson or as a Kennedy. And I don't know the facts of that or the truth of that. But I do know that he is, because he's a Kennedy, because he's a congressperson, he does get special privileges.
All right, take it to the bigger picture, Michael Myers, and that is whether or not he is voicing what many will suggest is the silent perception of many whites in this country, of black Americans. And
he doesn't really want to go to lock up with African Americans. He doesn't want to not be able to afford bail as many black Americans can. So, his way of saying, treat me like an average person. If I'm guilty, send me to jail.
But
the scandal here is not that Kennedy gets special treatment. The scandal is that the business as usual in the huge enterprise, which is the corralling of young men in our cities, is unbelievably inhumane. That's the scandal.
No.
The scandal
it is. It's unbelievably inhumane. As you say, go to one of those lockups.
They're
public health
disasters. Hang on, one at a time.
I'm saying we're in the business, while we're talking about Patrick Kennedy's peccadillo, we as a society are in the business of corralling hundreds of thousands of human beings in absolutely unbelievably inhumane conditions, and that is the scandal.
If it's a scandal you're talking about, that people are put into prison wrongly, I say that is
go there and look
if
at
they,
how they live.
Just a second.
What we do.
But
that really is
a
different issue. By extension,
that really is a different issue.
I want to keep us on this issue, Michael Myers. Glenn, that really is a different issue. That may be a scandal. That may be problematic. But that is not what we're talking about here. ER Ship, let me try with you.
Yeah.
The idea of whether or not he is voicing the opinion, the silent opinion, of many whites and others who view African Americans as you say, this bottom rung, as Vincente Fox suggested, that even was the word, the operative word, and that even African Americans don't want to do.
And that is the true issue here. And the question becomes for us, how do we counter this? We are more American than most of the people who are saying the things. We're more American even than the Kennedy family. We were here first in most of our cases. So how do we get out of their head that when they want to say something is bad, it's black? Black whatever, whoever, Black Monday, Black whoever. You know, why in their head does it automatically come out that you use something that's referring to black
Patrick
people to
that.
Express negativity? We need to figure out how to deal with that.
Michael Myers.
Patrick Kennedy did not say that. And you're changing the subject. The point is that he's concerned about the image of his having special privilege. And, this is a concern, but that's his concern. It's not my concern. My concern is that there be equal justice. And if people are going to prison for drunk driving, then he should go to prison.
I'm trying to get everybody to stay with the subject.
In expressing his concern, he drew on a metaphor. And the fact that he drew so easily on that metaphor tells us something about ourselves.
All right.
That's all that
right,
I would
guys.
Say.
No, I got to stop us here on an abbreviated roundtable. We were pretty feisty today. So Michael Myers, ER Ship, Glenn Lowry, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it.
Happy birthday to
me. Happy birthday to ER Ship.
Happy birthday, ER. Thank you, guys.